feel like my job on this show is to derail it at any point.
Welcome to Best Threesome Ever.
Episode 6, starting off on a good note. I think I'm Nick.
I'm pretty sure I'm Rob.
I'm fairly certain I'm Kevin.
I was having a thought, and then I had to change my change of thought, whatever. My brain shifting gears, not working well. Clearly, I'm stalling. Anyways, obviously before we start, we're going to talk about some movies, and there's definitely going to be some spoilers. So if you don't want to hear about spoilers from Deadpool, see Deadpool.
If you haven't seen Deadpool yet, you're
Why not?
Welcome to being wrong.
Yeah. Right. And I guess, you know, I would say Happy Valentine's Day, but in nerd world, is it, you know, is it can be happy?
It's probably happy Women's Rights Day.
Right. I call it Happy Single Awareness Day.
What was it? No, Happy International Women's Day?
Sure, I guess.
I don't know. I don't remember what it was.
Hopefully in the future, when they've started removing Hallmark holidays, we can change Valentine's Day to Deadpool Day.
Let's start another petition.
I'm okay with that.
But by the way, did you start that one webpage for the Terry Crews as Lobo?
No. I'll do it right now.
You better do it right now. Better be completed by the end of this episode.
Okay.
Because I think we're going to have a couple other ones. So now we're going to have Deadpool Day, too.
Yeah.
Alright, so yeah, Deadpool. I cannot say enough good things about this movie. I have been ranting and raving about this movie to people, and I finally get to say it publicly. Like, I was excited for this movie. At first I was nervous that I set my expectations really high, and they blew me out of the water. Like, they exceeded my expectations, and in my personal opinion, this is a comic movie done right. They nailed it. I can't really say anything bad about the movie other than my little thing about Colossus, but that's just me. But his arms look too stubby to me. That's all. That's my only quibble.
And I think that's
my only quibble about the whole entire fucking movie.
And I think each of us really does probably have like one little quibble that they'd like to change, but overall insignificant.
Right, but if that's my only quibble about the movie, and I don't even care that they broke the fourth wall, which, you know, Deadpool does in the comic, but not only broke the fourth wall, but pretty much were like...
No, he broke the 16th wall, apparently.
16 walls! I think he did because they're making references that are out of the movie world that bring real life into the movie world, i.e. the scene where he's on the being dragged away by Colossus, and he's like, I'm taking you to see Xavier. And he's like...
Stuart McAvoy!
Right! I mean...
I can't keep the timeline straight.
And I think they set the tone right at the beginning of the movie when they're like... Starring some, you know, pretty guy.
The opening credits, from the opening nanosecond one.
They went balls to the wall, full speed, and didn't fucking stop. Yeah.
No, I think my top like comic book movie that I really loved was The Avengers. You know, Josh Whedon wrote it and directed it, and it was brilliant. I thought it was a perfect combination of all those movies and all those characters put together, and that was kind of my like. That's my gold star, my standard.
I think this is going to be the third generation. This is the start of the third generation of comic book movies. X-Men started the first generation, which was the boom, the comic book boom.
The big
Iron Man.
The big epic story type style of superhero.
Well, where comic book movies became a thing. Like an actual thing that the studios paid attention to. Not like your Dolph Lundgren Punishers or your Blade.
What are you talking about? That was an awesome...
Or your 1990s Fantastic Four or Captain America.
I don't want to talk about it.
Wait. I've got it. David Hasselhoff as Agent Nick Fury.
Interrupt you, McGee. Let's just take it down a notch, okay, Skid Row? Iron Man ushered in the era of well-written comic book movies. Because the problem with what happened after X-Men is we got a lot of stinkers, like your... Ghost Riders, Daredevils,
Elektra, the
Fantastic Four movies, which were the first one at least was entertaining, but they were campy and not very good. Then the next Fantastic Four wasn't better. But
here's the thing: I don't think they can make a good Fantastic Four movie.
It's really hard, and they need to stop so that they can bring Doctor Doom into the Avengers universe.
Yeah,
he's too good for them. He really is.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is that something I'm going to touch base on in a moment. And then now Deadpool's bringing in the era of the rated R. The good, the real visceral comic book movie, which they're already shooting for Wolverine 3 to be rated R.
Yeah, and I saw that today.
And so I think that's... We've proven that's what we want.
No, it isn't. No, we can't say that. Because Punisher Warzone was rated R.
No.
With Ray Stevenson?
I'm not talking... The first Punisher was rated R.
No, that was
PG-13. No, it's not. It's rated R. It was rated R.
The Thomas Jane one was rated R.
I do not believe it.
It had tits in it, dude. I've watched that movie 37,000 times.
Wait, are we talking about the Thomas Jane one?
Kick-Ass was rated R. Watchmen was rated R. I'm not talking about just rated R movies in the first place. I'm talking just like Iron Man ushered in good comic book movies. I'm talking good rated R comic book movies.
Wait, are we talking about the Thomas Jane Punisher or the Dolph Lundgren Punisher?
I'm talking about Thomas Jane Punisher.
There are actually three Punisher movies.
I don't count Dolph Lundgren because it's pre-comic book boom.
Right, I'm with you, but I think that that one was rated R. I think...
He didn't wear the skull. It wasn't a Punisher movie.
He did wear the skull.
No.
Didn't he?
Not once.
God, I don't remember.
I watched it a couple of times. It's awful.
I'm sorry. I've only watched it like...
He shows his butt in it.
I remember that.
But no, it was... That movie was a Punisher movie at bare minimum. It was a Punisher movie like iRobot was based on the book iRobot.
Wow, yeah.
It had robots in it, and it had the three laws, and that's about it.
Yeah, right.
It was a loose homage to the Punisher. But the thing is...
But Warzone, I thought, brought it back, though, in terms of what... The Punisher is about this.
Warzone was a piece of shit.
I understand it was a piece of shit. What I'm saying is that visual, like if you turned off the audio and just watched it and just said, okay, this is Punisher going around shooting people,
and then I would have to look at Jigsaw, and that's not funny either.
Well, that's okay. What my point is that it's the violent.
But you can have that and still have a good movie. Now I know Watchmen had flaws. But on the whole, I really enjoyed that movie.
I thought that
if they had gone with the original comic book ending of that Cthulhu shit, it would have sucked. I'm sorry, but they had to change the ending. The ending in the comic book was fucking stupid.
The director's cut has the Cthulhu.
I know it does, and I watched it, and it was stupid.
Okay.
But if you want to send me hate mail about your fucking Cthulhu obsessions, by all means, I will eat them for dinner. I will print them out, and I will eat them.
By the way, on a quick note, thanks to all of our new likes on Facebook and people that are our growing audience.
Hello!
So, hello.
We're sorry for ear raping you.
No, we're not.
We really aren't.
Continuing, sorry. Continuing.
I am.
So, good rated R movie.
But good rated R movies.
I don't know that they can make a good... With the shittiness that has been... The Wolverine franchise.
This is also going to be Hugh Jackman's last foray into being the Wolverine. And I'm really hoping that for his last hurrah, they can fucking pull out of the yard just once, guys, just once.
If it was
give me one good Wolverine movie, one time.
If it was written,
Wolverine wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't that good either.
I mean, he didn't have that high of a bar to step over. With Origins.
If this was written by, like, Josh Whedon, even Kevin Smith, although I don't know if he's necessarily a huge Wolverine fan, but if it was written by, like, somebody who really knows comic books and they let them and they got a good director to do it, I think it'll be done fine, but I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, even if it's written by Joss Whedon instead of Josh Whedon.
Whatever his name is.
I mean, a semantic asshole, sorry.
Somebody's got to be.
Yeah.
That's why we hired you.
Yay!
But that's my hope, is that... Also, is I that, the mic. Not necessarily that all these comic book movies have to be rated R now. I don't think that.
No.
But I'm just hoping that this now means that they know that they can pull out a few of the stops a little bit. They can go a little more cuckoo bananas. And as long as they do a good job at it, we'll fucking eat that shit up.
And I think this one proved it, too, because it blew the box office out of the water.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure on numbers exactly, but I think it's something...
Biggest opening for
an R-rated film ever. Biggest opening for a first-time director.
Yep.
$140 million over the weekend.
Crushed every record that 50 Shades of Grey made. Thank you fucking Jesus.
Yeah, best February opening, I believe.
Best February opening.
Which, by the way, if you don't know, in Hollywood, generally, February is the month where they dump all the shit.
Yep.
It's their take out the trash month. They put all the shitty movies in February, the ones they don't think are going to do well, but they have to release anyways. They go in February. That's why we got Green Hornet in February.
Oh.
Why we got Green Lantern in February.
According to Forbes magazine, posted 2 days ago, Deadpool's box office record is a crushing $300 million worldwide.
Somebody at boxes right now is literally jacking off onto a pile of money and hookers and cocaine. And goddammit, he earned it.
Yeah, whoever greenlit this
he's
project.
He's flipped a switch to turn on the green light, and therefore he gets to jerk off on drugs, women, and money. That makes sense.
He can do both.
It literally does make sense.
Yeah, he can
sweet.
Do...
Give me my hookers!
You didn't greenlight anything good.
True.
But that's... and that's...
Given the fact that I'm the one who started this thing...
You didn't greenlight anything good.
I suggested it.
Anything good.
You're saying we're bad?
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
That would be the joke, yes.
I know, I just want to...
That would be the self-deprecating joke.
I know.
Group deprecating joke.
Alright, I think we've killed this far enough now.
I could, yeah.
But no, you're right. Deadpool was...
Friday, of course, I'm sorry. I'm reading this more often. $132.7 million from Friday to Sunday frame, and that was American. That was the American opening.
That's the American box office, yeah.
And this is proving that the original Wolverine movie did at least give us one good thing.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
Yeah.
Although that Deadpool sucking and having a little action in the movie.
Oh, God, that was great.
And that is something I loved about this movie. And that is why I had to say it twice. Or I had to see it twice because the first time I was laughing so hard at all at everything. And it's like you fart and you laugh or something, you'll miss 20 jokes.
Yeah.
Or you'll miss some
it's
reference
so fast.
Or some Easter egg.
One hell of a fart.
Sometimes I, you know.
It's one of those farts where you just kind of have to go and check real quick. But
I'm just saying, like, if you fart that, you know, they go so quickly that you'll miss a lot of jokes. You know, so I had to see it the second time, and I still laughed. And the second audience was probably not as nerdy and didn't catch all the references and probably didn't get why I was laughing so hard.
Fuck them. Who cares about them?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. The second time I went and saw it with Beverage. And the opening sequence is that beautiful, like, still shot where the camera just
beautiful.
Pans over just a photo, essentially.
Of insanity.
And the credits are rolling in, and directed by some big dumb idiot or whatever.
By some overpaid douchebag.
Douchebag, that's what it was.
The writer's not for
starring
the
God's little idiot or whatever, a hot chick, a CGI guy, sullen team. Anyways, we'll get to it in a second, but I just want to point this out. We watched it, and it was a fairly quiet theater, but that opening sequence in the first 10 to 15, 30 seconds or whatever, there's a coffee cup that floats by that says Rob L.
Yes.
The creator, Rob Liefeld, is the creator of Deadpool, and we saw the coffee cup float by, and he and I just went, ah!
Nobody else
in the theater did.
Like, another couple other than us got... Well, I should say other than me. I don't think Crystal got it. I actually had to be like... Yeah.
Also, there's a highway sign that says Nikizio Highway, which is the other creator of Deadpool.
You realize that Rob was actually in the movie, and he's in the bar, and then Ryan Reynolds walks by and goes...
Liefeld?
He goes, Liefeld sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, or something like that, but yeah... And I'm not gonna.
He goes, "Fuck you, Liefeld."
Is that
I think
Liefeld.
So. Yeah,
yep. Yeah, whatever.
I think that's what it was. Yeah,
something to the point of
Fat Gandalf.
Fat Gandalf.
That's actually Rob Liefeld.
No, I was just saying Fat Gandalf.
Fat Gandalf is great though.
But no, can we talk about the very understated, not well known, now going to be a powerhouse of cosplay? I assume Negasonic Teenage fucking Warhead.
Oh my God,
and how
she was
perfect
amazing.
She was.
She was and here's
show
the thing.
Stealer, this little girl.
Yeah, yeah. The actress.
And that's hard.
So it's going to be Silence or something mean.
And
I'm not going to lie, it kind of got me boxed in here.
And I'm not going to lie, especially up against Ryan Reynolds. And the character, and that you could have fucked that up so and so bad.
They have gone out, made a movie all about Marvel's scene-stealing character.
Yes.
The character that walks into a comic strip and you will remember only him from that book.
Yes.
And then walks out. They made a whole movie about him, and somehow I walked out going... Shit, the little bald Sinead O'Connor chick was awesome.
Oh, she was brilliant.
Great.
Her ability to keep up with him, her...
And she didn't even have to say much.
She didn't.
And that was great.
Yeah.
And I'm looking up the actress real quick.
No, by all means, finish your tweet. It just
right?
All right.
She was perfection.
Go get him, Tiger. Oh, I so pity the guy who tries her into her prom sex.
She was absolutely dynamite. She unintended.
She was delightful.
They did change her powers a little bit for the movie. And I'm perfectly okay with that. I was 100% okay with that.
Oh, she's cute and 19. It's adorable. Anyway, sorry.
So legal?
Yeah, legal.
Oh, absolutely.
But
this is one of her only credits. She has 4 credits on record.
Yeah.
And they're all bullshit except for
They're all bullshit. I've never heard of any of these.
Girl's going to blow it up now.
I hope so. God, I hope so.
But no, that a point I started to touch base on, and now is kind of a good time to move to, is the fact that in these Avenger movies so far, all of the villains have been kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. Because with the exception of like Loki and Thanos kind of jumping in the frame every couple of seconds, they haven't had any big bad guys, and they, you know, haven't fought Thanos, so you can't even really count him yet.
And they haven't really given, like...
And that's because all of their heavy hitters, like the big villains, belong to other companies. They're your fucking...
Well, Dr. Fox is the only
Dooms,
one that owns...
Your Galactus, who we only saw the world's most piss-poor version of.
In that crappy Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in Rise of the Silver Surfer, Spider-Man's Hall of...
But here's the thing.
Awesome.
Here's the thing. With the fact that they don't tend to use the big bad guys from Marvel because, A, either they're owned by... or the rights are owned by Fox because Fox owns most of the X-Universe. Or... They can't feasibly do it like Galactus. Galactus should not be done on screen, in my opinion. Ever.
He shouldn't, but, my point is
I didn't think Apocalypse should either, and then they're
doing it, and I don't know how to feel about it yet. But
right. It does seem like they've... I don't know if...
He looks better than he did. He looks better than he did when we saw that first picture where he looked like Ivan
Ooze. They saw the oh yeah, that totally fucking looks like Ivan Ooze. We gotta fix this shit. Yeah. Or that does still happen, it's just very brief in his little tenure as Apocalypse.
But my point was, because all of the big, you know, Marvel big baddies are either over at Fox or just not feasible to do on screen, they've had to pull out these different characters, like Loki, like making Yellowjacket a villain in Ant-Man, like making, you know... I enjoyed Red Skull. He was good in the first Captain America.
Red Skull definitely counts as a good one, but he's kind of an older good one.
But when they have a good one like that, he lasted such a small portion of the movie that you really didn't get to appreciate his villainness.
It's true, yeah.
I don't feel that you did. Like, for instance, Sandman. I know in that crappy...
Spider-Man 3.
I forget the actor's name that played him.
Thomas
Hayden
Church.
Yes. To me... Although Sandman's not my like favorite supervillain, I thought he looked the part. He played it really well, you know. And
he was the best fucking part of that entire shit-ass movie.
Yes.
I mean, Topher Grace.
I want him dead because of this. Topher Grace, if you're listening, I'm coming for you.
I'm sure he is.
We need a sound effect now of Kevin just sharpening a knife. Shing, shing, shing. But no, all right, back to my point was, because of all that, we have gotten some really, gotten B-level supervillains. But in some cases, it's worked out really well. Like for Jessica Jones, we got Kilgrave, who is absolutely a B-level, C-list villain. But when you hand him to David Tennant?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
And I think
he is awesome as that, and I'm trying to pivot back to Deadpool here.
But no.
And with that in mind, you get Ajax.
Similarly, and also on the your Kilgraves, your Ajaxes, Batroc. They managed to take the world's... And I do not...
Leaper?
Yes, I don't mean this in a slight against the LGBT community. Gayest supervillain.
Yeah.
Google it and you'll see why I use that word. He is prone to fits of frolicking. He really, literally is. And they managed to take a guy who was basically Bon Voyage from The Incredibles and turn him into this super hardcore, flipping, parkour-ass badass in Captain America. Fuck yeah!
Yeah. Yeah, and it, that's another good example.
They, you think they'll give do Fing Fang Foom? I wish you could have seen him.
But again, to what Nick said about even like Red Skull, who is a very prolific villain, they kind of shit on him. And again, the Mandarin in Iron Man 3,
yeah, the Mandarin,
a huge villain in the Marvel Universe,
exactly,
was a gaping white turd. played by Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
And who we thought was going to be the Mandarin. Who we
he was perfect!
Who we thought was going to be this awesome Ben Kingsley. Fuck yeah! He was this...
Yeah.
I loved how they played that off, though. I mean, I agree with you that the Mandarin is a huge villain, because I'm saw it, I'm like, oh shit, the Mandarin's in this, he's going to have his fucking rings, it's going to be fucking crazy. And it was just...
It didn't... Yeah, and it just didn't
just
pan
a,
out.
He was just a face of a terrorism group.
Yeah, it just didn't pan out, and that's too bad. But... For what Ben Kingsley did with it in the beginning, that was amazing.
It was. And even when he played it and he was just the drunken fucking hooligan.
That was fun, too.
That was fun. I will say that definitely was fun. But we didn't get the Mandarin, but we did get
a really fun, interesting character.
Yes, exactly. And I agree.
He shouldn't have ever been called the Mandarin. He should have just been Trevor Slattery the whole fucking movie. But it was good. I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy Ben King. The rest of the movie, in my opinion, was not great.
No. I liked it better than the second one.
And
I liked it.
I have a little bit of a man crush on Pothole Face, Mickey Rourke.
I have a huge man crush on Robert Downey Jr. and
also him.
If I could be him, I would. It would be awesome. Anyways, I liked the
Pothole Face and Blonde RDJ. I liked them both in that movie.
Second one, I enjoyed it. I mean, I liked the scene at the end where him and War Machine are just kicking ass.
Yeah.
And Black Widow's entrance as Black Widow was...
And Tony Stark's playing up. Lovely. And I love that portion of it, but the rest of the movie I felt was kind of meh. The third one I liked a lot, but I really loved the ending when you got to see 40-some-odd... 43.
Yeah, you got to see the Legion of Suits.
Yes.
Yeah.
Including, I'm glad that, I can't remember the name of the suit, but even his suit, how it looked in the Ultimates, even made an appearance. It?
Like that, the dark red and gold one?
The one that almost looked like a small version of the Hulkbuster.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
Yeah, no, I know which one you're talking about.
Heartbreaker, something like that.
Yeah, I think it was Heartbreaker.
I have it. If you have the Jarvis app on your phone, which is actually kind of a shitty app,
nerd.
You can open it up and it's got like hidden stuff from the movie, but you can actually download all the suits of armor.
Neat.
If you have to like scan something on your DVD, Blu-ray, I don't know. I couldn't figure it out, but then apparently there's just a passcode we can just say, "Hey Jarvis, unlock whatever he says in the movie to unlock the."
Right, the protocol program,
whatever.
Oh,
and then
okay.
It unlocks all the suits of armor.
Full House protocol or whatever.
Full House, yep. Yeah. Full House.
A house party. House party, yep.
Full House would make more fun, especially if once it activated, it played the theme song from Full House.
Anywhere. By the way, did you see?
Anywhere you look, anywhere there's a heart, there's a heart.
Did you see?
A hand to hold on to.
Did you see
Fuller House?
The no. Fuller House trailer? Are we going to talk? All right, let's talk.
I got to talk about
the Fuller House trailer.
Hold on.
John Stamos is
shut the fuck up, Rob. No, did you see Jimmy Fallon? Late it was a show of Jimmy Fallon. He was doing a Donald Trump thing, and he woke up in like... the Olsen twins bed in the Full House, and then Bob Saget opens the door, and of course the crowd goes shitty, and then fucking Joey and the other one,
John Stamos
and
David Coulier
come in, and the crowd
the crowd
goes even more insane, and then the fucking door bursts open again.
You've watched the Fuller House trailer, haven't you?
I have not yet.
And actually you should. It's kind of...
I will post this on the group, and then the door bursts open again, and it's DJ and Stephanie, and then one last time, and it's Kimmy Gibbler, and who was John Stamos' hot wife?
I don't remember her. Becky.
But I don't remember the actress's name. But she still looks just as fucking good.
Lori Loughlin.
Yes!
There it is.
God, good job.
Yeah! Bro.
The entire cast, with the exception of the Olsen twins, is in this little scene on Jimmy Fallon,
where he's dressed as Trump,
and he's talking about the primaries and how he wants to win, and they try to have that heartwarming moment, and then they break into the song of full opening of Full House fight. Sorry. And it's quite humorous. I'll post it. It's I saw it today. It was
awesome. I don't want to get too much into this, but I did watch the trailer for Fuller House. I'm not ashamed at all to say that, to be honest.
I just haven't gotten around to it yet. I plan on it.
It looks good, and I'll tell. And there are two huge reasons why: Jodie Sweetin's boobs.
God.
And how hot did she get?
Stephanie...
No, especially for smoking meth for 2 years.
Yeah, her post-meth body is on point!
It's just...
A sentence
I never thought I'd hear.
And maybe it's only because she smoked meth for 2 years.
Maybe, but... God!
And she admits she like smoked it every day. Like, she didn't do anything. She
and hid it from her cop husband. Good for her.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's kind of impressive, but yeah.
Yeah, meth doesn't have a real... substantial odor. They don't walk in and go, somebody's smoking meth. You know, it's like, it's not like weed where you go, yeah, somebody's fucking smoking weed. But anyways, yeah, to smoke it, fucking
matter. Right, right.
But yeah, hot. Even I have to admit, even Kimmy Gimbler.
And for those Kimmy curious, his knowledge of what meth smells like doesn't come from him being a meth head. It's because he is a justice of the peace.
I perform marriages?
Yes.
I do actually perform marriages.
I just think that sounds cooler than cop.
That is true. Yeah. I'm part of the Justice League?
Yes. Ooh, yes.
I have the unwritten character. You never see him. I'm always at the end of the table taking notes.
No. You're just albino Jon Stewart.
There we go.
Because the Jon Stewart Green Lantern was a cop.
I would love to see him cosplay as Guy Gardner.
Oh, that'd be neat.
Mm-hmm. Guy Gardner is the worst Green Lantern. But it's the worst Green Lantern.
I kind of... he's my favorite! He's the best! He was an artist! He is the best Green Lantern! Fuck Hal Jordan!
We can agree there. Well done.
Fuck Hal Jordan. Yeah. I kind of wanted to do some sort of Deadpool cosplay, but I feel like that one's just going to be overdone.
It's going to be
the Harley Quinn of dudes.
Okay, yeah. Should we take a quick gander about how many Deadpool Renaissance costumes we will see out at Renaissance?
Foomph million.
What is the exact number on foomph million?
Five.
Oh, all right.
Foomph five.
Is German for five.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't actually know that.
Now you learned something. We're educational here.
Sweet.
We are educational here at the best threesome ever. I was going to say we should make it into a drinking game almost, but then I'm like, wait, then we'd probably get fucking wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
And?
Well, I mean, it's not a bad thing to get wasted, but we have that rule. You can't be wasted on the stocks. Remember what happened when the one person did get kind of wasted and... We kind of had to,
leave
the state. That was a fun day.
It was a good day. With the show that we don't remember, that can't fucking remember in the lines. So Deadpool, and the thing I love about Deadpool 2 is not only did it make fun of like everything and everybody, and Ryan Reynolds made fun of himself.
Oh my god, yeah.
Just the in show humor and all the the little Easter eggs throughout the movie, like Ryan Reynolds' name is actually on the chalkboard in the bar.
On the Deadpool chalkboard, yep. Yeah.
But even at the end, which I'm sure at first, I would gander to say a lot of people didn't get the end thing where he came out in the bathrobe. People are like, what the fuck? Why is he in a bathroom? I'm like, it's
Ferris Bueller! It's like the first stinger credit.
That's why he sticks his head out and goes, chicka. If you didn't know what it was.
They signed that with an exclamation point with that.
I was going to say the thing that I loved and I thought was done phenomenally well when we were talking about like rights and who owns what. The fact that Deadpool can't legally say certain names in the movie.
Like something that is similar to a snake?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Nick Fury.
Oh, wait. We don't have to follow their copyright rules. You mean Bob from Hydra who showed up in the movie?
But
he was actually just Bob?
That's what I was telling Crystal during that fight. I'm like, that's Bob. He's actually from Hydra. And it was like his best friend.
Yeah.
But they can't use Hydra.
They can't use Nick Fury. But Sam Jackson with an eye patch? Oh, say that.
Yeah, we can say that.
You can't not.
But they can have the end fight on the shield helicarrier.
Yeah, as long as they don't call it a shield helicarrier.
Oh, some numbnuts in the front of me at the end of the movie was like, "Why were they fighting on an aircraft carrier? That didn't make any sense." Yeah, I didn't get. Like, there was like a group of them that didn't. I'm like, it's a helicarrier, you fucks. If you're gonna come see a nerdy movie, know your fucking nerd lore. For Christ's sake, girls aren't included. Sorry, I had a little anger.
Sexist. Yeah. I think we should hold girls to the exact same standard we hold guys.
You're going to hold Crystal to know all the comic book lore?
Absolutely. I've been teaching her.
Well, you can teach her, but I mean, you expect her to go in knowing it?
No. Okay. But that's because I know her.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah. I'm not operating off of an assumption. I'm operating off of my actual knowledge.
All right, well, it came out wrong.
Boom.
Mic drop. I did have one. The other small little thing I didn't like about Deadpool is at the end scene, he gets out of the cab and they're like, "Oh, you forgot your gun bag." Blah blah blah. I'm like, "Yeah, but he didn't even have his guns in his holsters," which he normally always has his gun in his holsters, and they never explain why he didn't.
So that's because, actually my little quibble about the film. It was amazing, but my little quibble was not enough guns for Deadpool.
But the reason behind that, which they poked fun at through the entire movie, was budget. They were like, we want to do this really awesome shoot-up scene, but that just would have cost too much money, so we'll just have him fucking do it with swords.
Yeah. I did enjoy that.
And that is why he kept forgetting his gun bag.
Yeah. I did enjoy the great moment of him at the Xavier Mansion.
Big house! That's weird. I only see two of you. It's almost like we only have a budget of two X-Men.
And I do have to say something. I fucking got super excited when they took off, and it was the original X-Men SR-71.
Right?
I was fucking nipples were hard. I was...
Okay.
I'm sorry. I got
representing
really,
the original X-Men Blackhawk.
Yes. And I'm like, finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
That we got the actual X-Jet.
Yes.
Okay,
so... point of discussion. Deadpool 2, Cable, who do we want to play him? A lot of people are
saying Knightley.
Liam that's what I was going to say, yes!
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying either what's this fuck from Avatar or Liam Neeson.
What's this fuck from Avatar?
Yeah, the Colonel.
I never actually saw the guy
with the scar. Sam.
You never saw Avatar?
No, I never
saw. You should actually see it. It's
No, I'm good. I don't like James Cameron movies.
Aliens.
Nope.
It's Pocahontas with blue people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly why I don't want to see it.
But Michelle Rodriguez is in it.
Michelle Rodriguez is
don't,
in it.
Don't care.
I love Michelle Rodriguez.
And so do I.
Weird alien sex.
Weird alien sex.
Weird alien sex.
I counter with James Cameron directed Titanic. I will never forgive him for that.
Why? What is he supposed to do? The ship fucking sinks. And to his credit...
Why are you acting like that's the part he's mad about? Like, where did that assumption come from?
I don't know.
I wanted the plot twist to be aliens carry the fucking ship to space.
That would have been super awesome.
And that's how we tie into Doctor Who.
To be fair, James Cameron is actually a huge lover of the Titanic.
I know, and he
literally,
did
literally,
he
went
did
down
actually,
there in a Suva Scoop and was like, ooh, you like
he
that
did.
Shit, doggy?
He did. He really did.
Well, that's going to be my dreams tonight.
And my, you know, while I think Avatar is not like...
just the robot chicken robot.
Fuck. I don't even know where I am anymore.
I was going to...
No. All right.
I was going to say, although it's not like, you know...
Right. Back to hating James Cameron. Sorry.
Right. I was going to say, it's also very... impressive the fact that the majority of that movie is all CGI and it does not look CGI'd at all.
Avatar?
Yes. I was impressed by that. I was very, very impressed by that. In fact, blown away. It's very visually stunning. Whether or not the plot was in...
That might be the only way you could get me to watch Avatar is if I was being blown away while having to watch that movie.
Like literally...
With a gun or by your girlfriend?
Girlfriend.
That would be blown while watching the movie, not blown away...
You don't know the force of her blowjobs.
I'd like to find out.
Is there a video? We can watch it for science.
For science. Got to be for science.
I'll bring it up at our next meeting.
Good.
She seems like the kind of girl who would be okay with it.
She'd be like,
saying.
She'd be like,
yeah, why not?
She's like, well, it's just a blowjob. It's not like I have to be naked. So really, we have to look at his dong, though. I don't know how I feel about that. I've seen the photo.
It didn't actually have my penis in it.
It was blacked out. Thank God. So where were we at, James Cameron?
I don't even remember.
Where did
we
go?
We didn't just get off track on that. We got straight up derailed.
I feel like we've been derailing ourselves for a while now. Like, we're 35 minutes in, and we've derailed ourselves, like, four times.
Oh, yeah, villains in Marvel movies.
Well, oh. Villains in Marvel, oh my god, that's where we were 20 minutes ago. Right.
Way to go, Kevin Smith.
Good lord. So back to my original point 20 minutes ago.
When we edit it out, it'll be like, what 20 minutes? It was like 5 minutes ago. I don't understand.
You leave every second of that.
If you lose the blowjob joke, I'm never talking to you again.
I'm not losing the blowjob joke. No.
But anyways, going back, the fact that we haven't had a good, solid, you know, Marvel Big Bad, and they've had to pull from the B Squad and the C-list Marvel villains, we've gotten some really good ones. Kilgrave is a great example. Ajax, I thought, was brilliantly done in this film.
Yeah.
He was... Francis! Oh, God! Francis was wonderful. And I love the memes showing up now with the window cleaner with the tape over the Ajax label, and it says Francis.
Gina Carano was fucking amazing in this movie.
She was wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I've never seen her before. What has she done?
She was in the Fast and the Furious movies.
Was she? Okay.
And, she played like The Rock's little sidekick in the Fast and the Furious 7.
Six, seven.
Six, I don't know. Whatever. She was a federal agent.
Five.
She's had a couple other movies that were like B-rated movie, like action. Okay. Movies.
Yeah, she had like an action movie, but she was a UFC fighter for a while.
Oh, okay,
Yeah,
she's a very gorgeous / handsome woman.
Yes. Yeah,
I love the fact that they used her breast falling out to really show what kind of person Colossus is in the comics.
Yes.
And my favorite version of Colossus in the comics, and yes, I'm touching base on this, is the fact that Colossus is a big gay dead mother. And I do mean gay because he literally, in one version of the comics, has a gigantic crush on Wolverine. He's head over heels in love with him.
Yeah.
And so I love the fact that they kind of put more that side of Colossus out. The fact that he...
But can still kick ass.
He will crush somebody in his hand if he has to, he's forced to, but
he's
a big metallic teddy bear.
And we talked about this.
He's without a doubt one of my absolute top favorite X-Men.
And we talked about this for a second before we started recording, but that is my other little quibble about the movie, was that Colossus was just a big gay Boy Scout, and it bothered me that he was so Superman-esque. Like classic 90s television show Superman, not... You know, gritty Zack Snyder.
What was that?
Superman. Or
watch
no, what was the one? What was it? Lois and Clark?
Oh Dean Cain.
Yeah. Watch the old, I think it was like early 80s X-Men cartoon.
Oh, I love that.
You know, with that
Colossus
great,
is great
with
in that,
great
too.
Theme song, X-Men, Faces the Day, Faces the Day. I love that one. But
I thought you were Colossus. Talking about the
no, that's 90s. That's 90s.
That one's awesome too, though.
But I'm talking about the 80s one. And in that, Colossus is a big gay dead mother. He like
he's the one. He's like, Bob Saget.
Like Nightcrawler is his little
He's Bob Saget, and Nightcrawler's his little
Nightcrawler
Mary-Kate
is
Nashley.
His negasonic teenage warhead. He fusses over this little squirrely little blue kid.
Right.
Okay.
Nightcrawler, you're not dead after all, eh, Tavrish? It's the guy they have playing was just fucking the worst / best.
Yeah.
the most joyfully, gleefully racist Russian guy you could find.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I love every second of it.
But my thing, I don't know, I didn't enjoy the whole movie. He was really grating as this, like... Oh, eat your vegetables. Eat
watch your language. The
language, please. Here, eat the protein bar. Breakfast is best meal of day.
I think the fact that they kind of went a little overboard was to compensate and really make Deadpool look even worse. And I get where they were going.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's just it was a little overboard for me. It was a little too far overboard for me the last scene of the movie where Colossus is giving, you know, that big heartwarming Full House speech, and then that great ending. I'm trying not to spoil it, but...
Didn't we already talk about other spoilers?
Yeah, we already gave the warning about spoilers.
So
he shoots him in the face.
So he shoots him in the face, and Colossus throws up metal chunks, and it's beautiful, it's wonderful. And
but it was awesome because he's like, you were taking too long.
Yeah.
You were droning on. I was bored.
We still have four more moments. But no, my only gripe with Colossus is that he was in metal mode the entire time. Like, he's a beast and can't control it. He's...
So I think,
did he ever revert back to Peter?
I feel like we're all in agreement on this, that Colossus was actually the weakest part of this movie.
He was definitely the weakest link in the movie, but even then, it was still a pretty strong link.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I enjoyed the fact that he was the comedic relief in a movie that was basically a raunchy sex comedy.
Yeah, and like if all the other links were adamantium, Colossus was unobtainium.
He doesn't get the unobtainium joke.
He doesn't. It was also in the movie The Core.
Yeah, it was.
And it's still the world's dumbest named fake metal.
Yep. Yeah.
The Core?
Yeah, also, The Core. It was basically...
The one where they like find a hole and they...
Where they dig a hole to the earth to restart the...
With Jennifer Garner?
Yeah.
Was Jennifer Garner?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, no, Hilary Swank was in it, not Jennifer Garner.
Yes.
Hilary
Swank.
But yes, which came out before Avatar, the metal
the
that
weird,
this guy created.
The weird, pouty-lipped heroine. Let's just go with that. Same thing.
The metal that this guy creates to make this drill out of, like this drill submarine, is called unobtainium, which is the exact
and it's
same.
It's not a James Cameron movie?
Nope. James Cameron just fucking used it for no reason.
Kind of like he stole the name Avatar?
Kind of like he used...
Yeah.
Kind of like... Well, I mean, that at least makes sense. It's still an Avatar.
Right, but then... But then
they couldn't make...
The movie was still Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. I'm talking
what
about...
What we're talking about is...
The animated...
Then the animated series Avatar couldn't make a live-action film called Avatar The Last Airbender. Not that it mattered, because Shyamalama Ding Dong shit... Yeah. All over it!
So it ended up being fucking moot. So you can't even really be mad about
That's
it.
True.
If someday I get a reboot and get a real fucking Avatar The Last Airbender movie, then I'll be pissed because James Cameron stole the fucking name and they can still not use it. They have to call it The Last Airbender and it's fucking stupid. Ah! Alright, I'm sorry.
They could call it Avatar The Last Airbender.
Let me be angry at James Cameron, please. I really don't like him. I want to, but I really don't like him at all. I just don't.
Aliens, man.
James Cameron.
God damn it.
One day I want to trick him into watching a James Cameron movie that he doesn't know is a James Cameron movie.
Which one?
Didn't James Cameron do Terminator 2?
Yeah, he did.
Good movie. Great movie.
Yeah. There's always an exception to the rule.
Oh, so Broken Clock is right twice a day?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on to other things we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, because we spent like 50 minutes on Deadpool.
Well, we can talk about... There's one character that we have not talked about...
At all?
Out of Deadpool.
Deadpool? No. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Copycat.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Technically Copycat.
Yeah,
but
technically
it's
Copycat.
The character of Vanessa in the movie. In the comics, she's called Copycat. In the movie, she's just Vanessa.
Maybe she becomes Copycat. Who knows?
Maybe... I hope not.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Show your work.
motherfucker, wrong show.
I've been saying that longer than your stupid podcast has existed.
Yeah.
B, I also sometimes say show your math.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we've always said show your work. We've always said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At Fest,
I assume you got that from us.
Is that where I got it?
Yes.
Ass.
Sorry.
Way to steal our shit.
Right? Can put it on the sticker without our fucking representation.
Anyways,
Copycat.
Yeah. Marina Baccarin is so good. Also, yeah, so why I don't think she should become Copycat? She's such a strong character in her own right. Giving her powers, I feel, would lessen who she is. And you need the human proxy.
You do.
You do. You really do need a decent human proxy.
I would be okay either way. I don't think I would be upset if she got powers. I don't think I would be upset if they didn't give them to her. I'm okay either way.
I would be okay either way. I hope.
I hope
they don't make her blue.
Yeah. Also true.
More blue characters.
More fucking blue Marvel characters. More
specifically, all X-Men characters. Yeah.
And speaking of actors holding their own against Ryan Reynolds, she fucking...
Oh, yeah.
She gave it to him.
Oh.
And literally.
Like
Happy International Women's Day.
In that very opening scene where you first meet her in the bar.
Oh, yeah.
And she just...
Where they're doing the... they're doing My Life is Worse Than Your Life.
And a lot of this... Apparently, a lot of this script was also very ad-libbed. It wasn't necessarily written.
Nice.
So if they were just ad-libbing off each other, the fact that she's
I could see that. I really could.
Yeah.
But she's keeping up with him.
Natural conversation.
Yeah.
It was, and that's what it wasn't like two people were acting.
You at home.
It wasn't like two people.
You had a refrigerator box.
So you had a dishwasher?
Yeah. That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, the dishwasher box. Dishwasher I had to live in a dishwasher. You had a dishwasher?
A dishwasher.
But my point is that that is like, it was like a flawless conversation. It wasn't like I wasn't watching two actors. It was like I was watching two smartasses just going back and forth.
Yeah.
And it kind of turned me on. I want a woman in my life that can fucking keep up with my smartassness.
I don't have a good snarky comment for that. Sorry. You're lonely.
Rob can't be your woman.
Nope.
No, can't.
I'm okay with that.
You'd probably be horrible in bed anyway.
Probably.
But then we had talked about briefly before we started this podcast the fact that Marina
Baccarin is the link to all superhero universes.
She has banged in both Marvel and DC has banged in both universes. She's like a comic slut? No, comic universe slut? Cut. No, what? No, I don't know. What it's
They're called companions, sir.
Sorry. Thank you. Did there.
Companions. Because Marina Baccarin was also in Firefly, and her horror character in that was called a companion.
Yeah. Which similarly, she clearly by the end starts banging Captain Mal, played by Nathan Fillion, who has voiced Green Lantern on a number of occasions. Not to mention, was people petitioned strongly for him to be Green Lantern before the movie came out. But I'm glad he wasn't, because then he didn't end up having to be in that piece of shit.
Yeah. Instead, we got Ryan Reynolds, who is in Deadpool. With Marina Baccarin. It all connects!
God finally gives Ryan Reynolds a franchise.
Right?
Fourth time's the fucking charm.
Yeah, but to be fair, this one he fucking earned.
He did.
And
here's the thing.
And he did
watch
say,
that opening clip from X-Men Origins Wolverine. The opening clip of his...
Wade Wilson.
Before it becomes the stupid fucking laser eye Deadpool. Whatever the fuck that was. But... That opening clip is just classic Deadpool.
Yeah.
It's really so.
The beginning, he's so very Deadpool.
Yeah.
And the PG-13 version.
Yeah, but I would still like to watch that clip, then start Deadpool.
I just had one question.
I wonder how that would look
in the Deadpool movie after Ajax and Angel. What's her name?
Angel Dust.
Angel Dust. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They go. They leave the bar, and they're like, yeah, go enjoy watching your Blade 2. I'm like, but he was in Blade 3. Ryan Reynolds was in Blade 3.
The joke meant, yeah, and I was sitting in the theater going, like, you meant Blade Trinity, right?
I was like, somebody pointed out, they're like, well, he was in the sequel. I'm like, I know he was in the fucking sequel, but then why didn't they just say Blade 3 then?
Yeah.
Or is that because they thought Blade 2 was a piece of shit movie, which it kind of was?
So was Blade Trinity.
But, no, Blade Trinity was awesome.
Yeah.
And awesome in the fact that Ryan Reynolds is in it, my future ex-wife Jessica Biel is in it, and...
The guy who plays Heatwave on DC's Legend of Tomorrow plays Dracula.
Yes. Dominic Purcell.
He's fucking fantastic. Plus, I love the fact that his character's name is Mick Rory, and the guy who played Rory in Doctor Who keeps having to call him Rory. Every time it happens, I squeak.
I kind of want to hear this.
Okay. So let's move on from Deadpool. Let's move on to some other stuff. And I think we should...
He squeaked.
Hello.
That is staying in. Kevin wanted to talk about the new Batman v Superman preview.
Fuck yes, I do! So the new Batman versus Superman trailer is very, 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 very Ben Affleck-centric. It's pretty much the entirety of it is from his point of view, with most of the talking being from Alfred. I could listen to Jeremy. Like, if I ever get my life narrated, Jeremy Irons, please, God.
Next to Morgan Freeman. clearly the... constant
so,
naysayer this
morning. Right? This contrarian of the group.
I guess,
on the other hand...
To be fair, I agreed with you motherfuckers on Deadpool. But
that's
how could I not?
Everybody in the universe agrees on Deadpool.
If you're good... Yeah. Yeah, I would like to meet one person that hates it, and I would like to hear the reasons why. And if they say, it was too gory... I'm just gonna punch him right in the fucking face.
It wasn't appropriate for my child.
Yeah. Don't, by the way, I do have to say, honestly, if you have a child that's under 14 or 15, don't bring them to this movie. It's kind of, I don't know. It's just, I don't normally say that about movies, but this one in particular, just let them be a little older. or see it first and then let your then make your decision. But anyways, that's my two cents.
But
Batman v Superman, sorry.
So a very bat-centric trailer, which naysayer over here keeps saying it's going to suck. But this is the trailer that has made me officially excited, and the reason why is just two brief parts in this trailer. One of which is Batman fighting a group of dudes, and it is the first time Batman fights like Batman. The closest we've come is Christian Bale, but he does this Marine CQC thing that, while practical, isn't very fun to watch. And part of the fun of Batman is watching the slick ninja ways in which he can take out 13 dudes at the same time. And you finally get that in this trailer. He's fighting like Batman does in Arkham Asylum. And that is exciting to me. I finally get to see the warrior Batman. And then the other part, of course, being where Superman goes to punch him and he blocks it like a fucking just tank.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on Superman's face when he blocks it is fantastic. So this trailer has definitely got me amped up for the movie coming out in just over a month now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Naysayer McGee has something to say.
I do. I'll see it. I'll probably see it opening weekend. Maybe not, you know, midnight Thursday, but...
That was the day off I needed that Jed was asking me about. Fuck.
Anyway. Wait, the Thursday or the Friday after?
The Friday after.
The Friday after, presumably, yeah.
Call him sick.
Yeah.
I might.
Jed, if you're listening, I'm not going to call him sick. I'm calling him sick.
Anyways, I will probably go see this movie, but it has me worried because we've seen three full-length trailers so far, and all three look like three different movies. And it worries me that a studio can't seem to get a consensus on what their film is.
And I think there's a couple of reasons they're doing that. One, I think that they keep seeing feedback from people after the trailer, and they're like, okay, this is what people want to see from this. This is what we're going to show them. And that makes sense. Also, it could be they want to pull in as many different kinds of interest as they can. And another is this trailer looks like they saw how much interest there was that was generated from the last Suicide Squad trailer, which people want rock and roll and... And fun, and so they're like, well, let's do a trailer that's fun and doesn't spoil everything.
But the thing, I don't know, it just seems like every time we get a new BVS trailer, it's a totally different movie. There, almost no clip is reused, it seems like. Or maybe I'm wrong, but there's very few. Very few clips are reused from trailer to trailer. Unlike most trailers we see for superhero films, there's a setup of like the original, what that big conceptual idea of the film is, and that one scene is always used in every trailer.
One, if you watch the Star Wars trailers, the three of those didn't reuse a lot of scenes either.
Right, but they all look like a Star Wars film. Batman versus Superman, I don't even remember what the first one was, but...
Man of Steel?
No, the first trailer, I mean. What it was like.
The senator talking about...
Where it's the camera panning over and it sees the Superman statue. Mm-hmm. And that seemed... That one seemed like a...
Do you bleed?
Yeah,
you
that will. One That one seemed more like a political
thing. Because I'm really. Batman.
God damn it. That one seemed more like a political thriller-style version of a superhero film, which I liked. I actually really, really liked that concept. I was like, okay, that seems interesting. The next trailer we got after that was the one where Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne meet in real life, and floppy-haired Mark Zuckerberg walks into the scene. I won't call him Lex Luthor.
Fuck you, I love it. No, I love it so much.
I will not call him. It's perfect. That's not fucking Lex Luthor.
Yes, it is.
It's
young Lex Luthor, and fuck you. But read a comic.
I agree with Kevin that I like the young Lex Luthor, but then Superman...
Did he just disease that?
Yeah, he did. then if they're going to do young Lex Luthor, then they need to do a younger Batman and a younger...
Yeah.
I just feel that Lex Luthor was always older than... And not by much, but like just the older nemesis, the older enemy of...
Yeah. If we're getting an older Batman and a like more mature Superman, we should have an already bald Lex Luthor. Not
I don't care about the baldness.
Well, I mean, I don't either. I'm just saying we need to have a Lex Luthor Gene that's Hackman. Older and Hackman. More mature.
Gene Hackman was Lex Luthor in those.
Yeah, and he was just wig. Balding.
I know he was.
He was wearing a wig, yeah. But in that trailer, it feels more like a grudge match movie. Like, it's setting up to be like an Alien versus Predator film. That's how I felt about that trailer. I was like, oh, okay, so that's actually a different movie. Okay, well, I'm still excited. And then this one looked like Batman, which I don't hate. But it worries me that all three trailers look and feel like a different movie every time. I'm just like, oh, this movie might suffer from a little bit of... It might suffer from the cast that it has. Because we know we're getting Wonder Woman and Batman and Superman and Lex Luthor and Lois Lane. And we're getting Aquaman in this movie. And we're getting Cyborg in this movie. And rumors say we're getting Green Lantern and Flash as well.
Yeah.
I'm worried that this movie is going to collapse under the weight of everything.
I hate the
everything.
Flash. I hate the Flash. Not the character. I love the character. I love the show. The show is amazing.
The show is amazing.
Are they not using the same Flash from the TV series in the movie?
No, of course not. They can't.
Oh, for fuck's
sake.
The kid they got to play him.
Ezra Miller.
I hate him. I hate him so. I hate his face.
Yeah.
I hate his eyes. I hate his smile.
Have you seen anything he's been in?
I hate his pale whiteness.
Have you seen anything he's been in, though?
No. Yes. I just can't. I remember looking him up on IMDb and saying, oh, I remember him from that. He sucked.
Yeah.
I know you're right. Everything about
he's
him.
Not, yeah.
He's.
So what you're saying is you have a scant memory of something he was in and you just dislike him mostly for what he looks like.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen him act. My argument is more credible. I also hate him though.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want to point out that my opinion is more valid than yours in this case. Cuz I've seen him in something and remember it. Perks of Being a Wallflower. He was awful. That movie was kind of awful. But that said, Emma Watson.
Who was he in that?
He was the douchey older gay guy.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
I super ultra hate him now.
You're welcome.
He's the worst. Yeah. And I wish that they could seriously bring in the kid playing the Flash from the Flash.
Grant Gustin?
Perfect. He's perfection.
Wonderful.
He's
wonderful.
Ugh, he is a national treasure.
He's pretty.
I have kind of a man crush on him.
Right? I think you're doting a little bit over here.
Go watch it. You will too.
I had to get
through. Can he and the girl who plays Iris make a porn? Because I would pay real money for it. I would pay actual money for it.
You would just look it up
like
for free?
Like a lot.
Oh, no. I don't. I mean, I feel better not seeing that, actually.
You like it up here? You like the mystery?
Yeah, I like the mystery.
I don't care. I want to see them go bananas.
But whoever directs it wouldn't do it the way I want them to. I mean...
Are you talking about the porn?
God damn it! No! Because they'd be animated!
Simmer down.
They'd be animated and for some reason sink into the sea. But as Grant Gustin falls under, he goes, I'll be back, and it's fucking over. That's what would happen. Ugh.
Oh, you said James Cameron, didn't you?
Yeah.
At the same time, I was saying...
But when he does show sex scenes, the guy knows how to film a sex scene.
Yeah, he got Kate Winslet naked.
The Terminator sex scene was great.
Yeah.
Fucking Kate Winslet, all of her, thank you. Yeah. James Cameron.
And that's actually him drawing her naked in Titanic.
James Cameron or Leo DiCaprio?
James Cameron.
James Cameron is drawing her?
Yes.
That's his drawing?
Hand. Yes. That's his drawing of Kate Winslet. That's his hand, yes.
Good for him. Begrudging respect.
It's good to be the director.
Yeah.
I'm going to draw you naked.
Begrudging respect. Otherwise, I hate everything you do, sir.
Hey, Mr. Cameron, we got this really awesome actor to play the lead in your movie Titanic, and he's a really good artist, too, so we could drive it. Well, I don't want him. I want Leo, because he can't draw. I get to draw Kate.
Respect.
Yeah.
Anyways, I was going to say two things. One about Superman, Batman. I love Superman. I still don't think I've seen the Superman movie There have been snidbits of every Superman movie that I've seen that I like.
Okay, first, can you define the word snidbit?
A very small portion of the movie.
Okay.
For instance, the scene.
What is the unit of measurement? Is it larger or smaller than a tin bit?
I will give you my fucking example.
Holy
son.
Shit! It's an Urban Dictionary.
Snidbit.
A little bit of something.
Thank you.
Fuck off.
But what's the unit
again,
of measurement? Like
a broken clock is right twice.
Hang on. Are we metric
day.
Or imperial
it's
here?
Precisely six Ben Afflecks. There were some snidbits of crumbs on the floor. Fuck me.
Jesus.
I don't think that would hold up in Scrabble, but goddamn.
Thank you. Sometimes I do smart things.
Continue,
sometimes.
Sir.
Sometimes.
Continue,
so my
sir.
Point, my example is this, is that in Superman Returns, in that horrible, shitty movie, there are two things that I really liked in that movie about Superman. One, when he catches the plane, because, to me, that's Superman. That's showing,
yeah.
That's to me, as a kid, as my little kid in me was like, ah! Not my dick. And the scene, the iconic, when he picks
tell
up the
tell the truth, maybe a little.
From
maybe
the very first
from
comic
the very
book,
first
the homage,
comic,
yeah.
Those
yeah.
little snidbits are like, that's Superman.
Snidbit.
I'm gonna refer to everybody as a motherfucking sports fan.
Also, I liked Parker Posey in that movie.
I did love Parker Posey in that movie. Way better than she was even in Blade.
Admittedly, I really like Brandon Routh. But not as Superman. I like him as the Atom.
I love him as the Atom.
Otherwise known as DC's Iron Man.
So I was going to say, for me,
apparently,
it's hard to find a good...
Iron Man slash Ant-Man.
To me, it's still... They still haven't made a good Superman movie. For me, Batman movies, out of all of them, I love the Nolanverse, regardless of Christian Bale's whatever. All three of those movies, I think, are just great movies. They're good movies, especially the second one. I mean... You can't.
How do you feel about Christopher Reeve's 70s Superman?
Since that's what I grew up on,
yeah.
Big fan. My favorite.
Really? Okay.
I would say if I were to pick a favorite Superman movie,
four.
Say
four.
Fuck no.
Say Quest for Peace. Do it.
I can't. What number is it with the with General Zod?
Two.
Yeah. So Superman 2, probably my favorite Superman movie out of all.
Who was that? Terrence Malick in that?
Yeah, the guy
is
who
Terrence
booked,
Malick
yeah, the
or
guy
Terrence Mann. Am I confusing?
Terrence Stamp.
Thank you.
Who was the voice of Jor-El in Smallville?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, that's right.
Because for me, in that movie, you get a good fight scene. You know, even though it's 80s, you know, campiness and whatnot, but there's a good fight scene between Superman and the three of them, and
gives up his powers for some sweet puss.
Right, but then at the end, right. You know. And he gets bullied by that one dude and gets beat up in the little fucking Mickey's-esque diner.
Right.
If you don't know what Mickey's Diner is, it's a little diner in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
For the, like, two people who live outside of Minnesota and listen to this?
Actually, a lot of our fans are outside of Minnesota.
Oh, really? Sweet.
Yes. It's very good. Anyways, and then he gets his powers back and goes back into that same place, and that same dude's sitting there, and he just, like, fuck you, and throws him into the pinball machine. And
amusing Superman connections, by the way. The girl who played Lana Lang in Superman 3 grew up to be his mother in Smallville.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, so Annette O'Toole.
The city they used for Metropolis, before Metropolis was really central to the plot in Smallville, specifically when he was going to the University of Metropolis, what they used for Metropolis was Minneapolis. They used the Metrodome for Metropolis University Stadium.
Another side.
Like, you can even see, like, when they do shots of Metropolis, you're like, that's Minneapolis!
Another
that's not big enough!
Which is funny, a note, because, again, I've mentioned her before in the show, but Brianna Brown was in Smallville. She was the ugly person that became the hot cheerleader, whatever. She was a villain on Smallville for a little small period of time.
Yeah.
Girl I went to high school with. Anyways.
Neat.
So, my whole thing about the Batman-Superman, I will go see it. I'm not as excited as Kevin. I hope it's good. I really do. I want a good movie. Even if it's just a good action movie, I'll accept that.
In my heart of hearts, I want it to be a good movie. I'm not holding my hopes. I'm not getting my hopes up about
right.
it, though.
But the other thing I was going to say, too, is something you mentioned earlier about the Aliens v. Predator.
Yeah.
They're making another Predator movie.
Yeah.
Sure.
I never saw the first reboot, the one with Adrian Big.
Don't see any of them. Don't no.
Not even.
There's only one Predator movie, and that's the one with Arnold fucking Schwarzenegger, Ghetto del Chapo. That is the only Predator movie. The one with Danny Glover, even though it's got I can't think of his name.
Danny Glover?
No, the guy that plays Hudson in Aliens.
Oh.
Futzbum Waller.
Yep, that guy.
Guy Flemington.
Yep, that guy. I can't think of his name. Anyways.
Jim Swizzleberg.
Now you're just making up names. Tommy, right. Tommy Panasonic. No.
Tommy Two-Tone?
No, that's a band. Damn you, Tommy Two-Tone. There is only one Predator movie in it, and it's the Arnold Schwarzenegger version. All the rest of
Arnold
them,
and our esteemed former governor. Yeah,
yeah, and all of them, and all of the Alien versus Predators are just shitty. The comic was so much better, and that was a comic that I used to read because it was great.
Bill Paxton,
thank you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I like Bill Paxton actually,
and
I enjoyed him especially when he was being snarky with Cary Elwes.
Yes.
Twister.
Yes.
And trying to bone Helen Hunt.
Why not bone Helen?
Well, actually, my opinion is good for him for jumping on that grenade for the rest of
but
us.
But another, speaking of going from the... Thanks
for the ride, Bandit. Enjoy tapping that hot, hot Sally Field tail. Yeah, I'm not happy about it either.
But moving on, to kind of move on to... From another something else we wanted to talk about, next to Iron Man, my second favorite superhero that doesn't actually have any powers, Punisher.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan of Punisher.
Love me some Punisher,
right?
Regardless of all the shitty movies that have been made of Punisher,
four Punisher
horrible.
Yeah, we have had four actors play Punisher.
Now we're gonna have another actor play Punisher.
I still love the Thomas Jane one. I really do, but I'm so excited.
I hate that one.
Give me some Dolph Lundgren any day.
I loved it.
Dolph Lundgren all day long.
Dolph Lundgren one sucks so much.
I think we're gonna talk about this. Did we talk about Cable? We did, and I didn't get to throw on my book.
Cable.
But this is a good point. Was that in the person that I think, although his acting abilities kind of blow, for Cable, Kevin Nash. He played the Russian in...
No, I love that. He's the right age now.
He is the right age. He's got the gray hair. He's got the body.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's
Wasn't he in the Magic Mike films?
He was in the Magic Mike films.
Yes.
He
even at his age, was still in the Magic Mike films.
Yeah.
He still works out like a motherfucker.
He looks breathtakingly gorgeous in a really unsettling way.
And oddly enough, it's sort of kind of one of my favorite wrestlers when I used to watch WCW's Big Sexy Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
He's Super Shredder.
He was Super Shredder, which is why I like to call
myself. Get that embarrassment out of your voice. It's okay to like wrestling.
Oh, I do.
It really is.
He's been two different comic book villains.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has.
And I would love to see him play a girl finally.
Yeah. And there's a picture I have.
Wait, did he do Super Chief?
No.
No, he was the...
He was the Russian.
The Russian and Super Shredder.
He was a Russian.
Super Shredder?
He was a Russian.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles too.
Yeah, he was Super Shredder.
When Shredder mutated? Secret News?
The 90s one, sorry.
Yeah.
I was like,
Vanilla Ice, yes.
Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
When he became huge, that was Kevin Nash.
That was Kevin Nash.
Nice.
But there's a picture of him standing by it, and you can clearly tell it's Photoshop, but it's like him standing next to a picture of Cable doing the thumbs up. And so...
I want that to be underneath.
But the point of...
I have something to end the show with.
The Punisher... The Punisher, bringing up the Punisher, is that he is going to be in the next season of Daredevil on Netflix. And I'm kind of excited about that. And it's
played by Walking Dead alumni.
Yes.
John Bernthal.
I think...
For those that don't know, John Bernthal played Shane on the first two seasons. Three seasons?
Two seasons. Tail end of the season two.
I couldn't remember.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I haven't finished Walking Dead.
He was good
on Netflix, but I'll get there.
He was brilliant in that.
I need to catch up on the season.
He was brilliant.
He keeps fucking spoiling
shit. So you don't want me to tell you that everybody dies?
Everybody dies.
Everybody dies.
I saw a group photo of the cast. I'm like, I recognize two of these people.
Right. But he also did the movie Fury, although I was not a fan of the movie Fury for a number of reasons. Tank movie. The movie with Brad Pitt.
Oh, okay.
Fury. He was in that. Although I didn't like the movie, I thought the actors all did really good jobs. Even 50-year-old Brad Pitt trying to play a 30-year-old some guy.
Of course he did.
And a girl.
He tried.
He still looks good. Brad Pitt still looks good for his age.
I won't look that good. I don't look that good now, but I don't wish I looked that good when I'm 50, but I won't.
Shit. Brad Pitt. I was going to say, no. This face, this is the complexion of 50-year-old Brad Pitt now, and I'm 28. This is sad.
I think you're giving yourself a little bit of credit.
Maybe.
But so I'm excited. I finally finished the Daredevil series on Netflix, and I'm all caught up. He's got the red suit, and I was very excited about that. And I'm interested to see what they do if Kingpin comes back or if he escapes from jail.
I don't know. He hasn't shown up in any of the trailers.
But that could also be because they're keeping a lid on it. But the tail end of this new Daredevil trailer, they did have him running into Elektra.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're clearly expanding the Daredevil character into the other Marvel characters that haven't been explored yet.
Yeah.
Well,
lately.
Thank you.
Well, and here's the thing. The whole Daredevil Netflix series of Marvel shows, it's all trying to build up to a Defenders miniseries, which is Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist.
Iron Fist. And oddly enough, all those characters all do live in New York, and all of these
all of them live in Hell's Kitchen. Yeah.
Did you know that an Iron Fist movie almost got made with Ray Park cast to play the lead?
Oh damn, I would have liked that.
But it was buried, and it was supposed to come out around when like Ghost Rider and shit did.
Oh, I would have. I wouldn't have liked that. Yeah,
probably would have sucked. So many dicks in hell.
Too bad.
Yeah, would have. So I'm excited to see the new season of Daredevil. I want to see.
It should be good. John Bernthal is. I think that's the perfect casting. Like, I didn't know who he was when they said he's gonna be Punisher, and then I started watching Walking Dead, and I went, "Oh no, that's perfect."
I think he will be great as a Punisher. I don't know if he's the perfect person for the Punisher, and I don't know that I have a perfect.
Honestly, I cannot think of anyone else.
Yeah,
I'd have to get it some honest thought.
The only one, Thomas Jane is the only one that could be better. And by the way,
Keira Knightley.
What? She's versatile.
There is a picture of her as Cable.
I looked it up. It's outstanding.
It's lovely, and I like that a lot. She can play. She can do the same wooden, sullen expression in any costume. It's great.
She's also one of my future ex-wives. Don't say bad things about her.
Me too.
My attraction to what's her name that plays Ray. It's very similar.
Looking. Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley. Thank you. I'm horrible with fucking names. Sorry.
She does. She does. Oh God. She really does look a lot
in their mouth with the way they talk, and their smiles are very similar.
Their accents are very similar too.
And their voices are very very similar.
Which is interesting, given the fact that Keira Knightley was the look-alike decoy
for Natalie Portman.
Oh no,
Luke's mother.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
No.
No. Yeah.
No.
No.
Son of a bitch.
There's a new.
That's a good theory. But no.
No. There's a. I read today that there's kind of a new.
I'm not saying that she should be her daughter, but you know.
No, she should be Keira Knightley's daughter.
I'm not. No.
I mean, no. I'm saying she should be Keira Knightley's daughter. In
except she was killed in episode 2.
She was.
No.
Different girl playing her, but
a decoy was killed. It doesn't mean it was the same decoy.
I thought they said her name, though. Mm-mm. She has a name.
Have a name. It's not her. That wasn't Keira Knightley's character.
Who cares? She never passes the Bechdel test anyway.
Anyways.
It's true.
Sorry.
There is a new theory about that, which actually would bring us into our next, last, hopefully final thing, since we're running so long.
I don't care.
There's a new fan theory out there about Rey's lineage, and that she might be Obi-Wan Kenobi's granddaughter.
That's not new. That's
isn't it?
No.
I've
been saying that since our first Star Wars podcast.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes. Oh. Or at least second. Like the first one after we saw it, and that's because Obi-Wan.
You didn't say granddaughter though.
You said daughter.
I think it's Obi-Wan daughter.
I didn't say daughter.
Anyways, regardless.
What I had said, and we can even go back and listen to it, is that I thought that Luke went to Pound Town with somebody who could have possibly been Obi-Wan's daughter, niece, something like that.
Right.
But so, and like, then it's new to me because I just read about.
She's too young to be his daughter.
Granddaughter. Well, yeah. But not necessarily too young to be his granddaughter.
You're right.
To be his daughter, he'd be way too young. 30 years young. After.
Yeah. Implicit there's Biden. No way she looks 30.
I don't think there's Tatooine Viagra, so.
No. Plus, you're talking. Plus, on top of that, you're talking whatever, how many years since Star Wars when he died, so you're looking at 30 to 40 years.
37 years.
Yeah, 37 years. No, she's way too young. But her granddaughter, absolutely believable. But I just found it very interesting how they kind of made the, like, there's, you know, Ewan McGregor's voice is in there. She's very similar. The fact that Obi-Wan gave Luke his first lightsaber and he held it so long in a wooden box, and then she found it in a wooden box, and then...
Where did she get it? This is the one thing that's been vexing me.
I told you.
Is where Maz got it?
When he got his hand cut off and it fell, nobody recovered it. Luke never went to go get it.
That's true.
Somebody, through peddling and whatnot, somebody picked it up, and somehow, through the black market, she got a hold of it. Because she said she's not a Jedi, but she's very... Clearly, Maz is very Force-sensitive, and clearly knows the stories of the Jedi. Maybe she even lived through most of it, because she was probably alive. So maybe she just picked it up, found it, tracked it down. Maybe she's a collector of Jedi memorabilia.
Sorry, my brain's back on a thought I had a little while ago about Ben Kenobi and Luke Skywalker starring in their own Star Wars porn. Use the Force, Luke. It was weird. Sorry. That's where I was.
Kevin,
where
are you, Kevin? You don't seem to agree with my...
Where are you,
Kevin? Like, I know Star Wars is like, its entire franchise is built off of the world's biggest fucking coincidence.
Yeah.
But that's stretching it so hard!
Not necessarily. I don't think it is. I think that would be... I would believe that storyline, other than, like, Maz was the one that actually found it on fucking Cloud City.
I've seen Gate Bang 7 starring Lex Steel that stretched less than that.
Good reference. Oh my God. I give you props.
Damn.
Give you props for the reference.
Oh my God.
My point is that it's believable that somewhere along the line,
I don't know how you just did that, but that's.
But on the other hand,
I used to manage a movie gallery. We ended an open section. I was very bored.
You were Randall.
I was totally Randall. Randall is my spirit animal. No kidding.
My point is that... Is it...
Jeff Graves, if you're watching, I love you. Listening, whatever. I don't even give a shit.
Is it believable? Is it stretching it? Absolutely. Is it possible and probable? Absolutely. But my point is that... Is it all based on... You know, you say it's all based on one big fucking coincidence? Or is it... The almighty powerful force fucking guiding people to their destinies and
hypocritically speaking, that usually is my go-to answer for things too. The force,
and I
get it, and that is probably what happened. It's just,
but even in episode four, that Luke happened to be away from his house when the fucking stormtroopers came in, slaughtered his parents. That he happened to be away, he was forced on this journey.
Forced.
He was the force.
But that's why I think that this is why I really love Star Wars, is because of all the archetypes of storytelling are interweaved within the Star Wars universe. You know, the hero's journey, the supervillain.
I think the reason why it bugs me so much is that was too grand of a detail not to reveal at the time.
Yeah.
Like, there are things that I'm glad they kept secret. I don't want to know who Rey is yet. I do want to know who she is, but I'm glad they kept that from us.
Right.
But his saber...
I still hope we never find out who
Rey is. And his hand attached to it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Well, I don't know that his hand was attached to it, but...
It was when it fell.
Death grip.
Yeah, that is actually a real thing, too.
I know it is, but what I'm saying is that... Falls,
I mean, obviously, it would have brought it and they could have scooped it off.
It's not like fucking Deadpool one finger hand.
which was goddamn brilliant.
Is your hand a lot smaller? You might want to.
It's going to feel gigantic in this. Run away. But no, that was too annoying of a detail not to tell me why.
Maybe they will.
And I hope they do, and I think, and I'm pretty sure they will, but that just felt like something that I needed. I need an answer to this now. This is urgent.
You need closure to it, which I think they will, because I think they brilliantly, even though I don't hate the prequels as much as you guys do, but I felt that throughout the prequels, it answered a lot of the questions that you like, how the fuck did Obi-Wan learn to talk to fucking Luke and all this crap and blah blah blah, and you know, and what happened to this, and why, how did Obi-Wan actually get Luke's lightsaber, and you find that he actually just picked it up. And
see, the Obi-Wan talking to Luke in spirit force form is never ever something I ever questioned in my entire life.
I kind of wanted to know.
It was just natural. He disappeared when Vader hit him with the lightsaber. I'm like, oh, he's he's becoming more powerful than your fucking bitch ass can ever imagine.
Well, and that's just the point, is that he, because he, you know, after I researched, when I was a kid, I was like, why did he disappear? Why, you know, maybe they just didn't want to show the
death. That was just something I accepted.
It was something I accepted, but then when I got older and I learned about it and they wrote more stories about it and that he was actually becoming one with the Force at that point, and that's what really got me, you know, going about it. Got the nerd boner going. Don't shake your head at me, Rob. But then I guess that leads us into our last point, is that I'm sure we all seen it. The clip for the new short little preview for episode 8, and all it was fucking, again, just Luke Skywalker standing there, and Rey hand him his goddamn lightsaber. They go, cut! Welcome to episode 8!
Brilliant.
Like,
I was like,
fucking brilliant.
I'm like,
they got millions of Star Wars fans hyped up for nothing! That's fucking, clever shit.
It was the Star Wars equivalent of the Deadpool separated hand.
Yeah. Like, oh, we started principal filming. It's like, it looks like you just never, like, you literally shot the end of episode 7 and then shot this little tidbit to say, we're doing this, we're starting episode 8 now. It's like, they didn't even leave.
Yeah. That's my concern. I'm fine with it. I like that. Although I do have a problem with films doing hyping up a film so early these days.
I agree.
Like,
it's like starting Valentine's Day and fucking Thanksgiving at Thanksgiving time.
Right? Yeah.
The store putting up its decorations way too fucking early.
Christmas decorations in September. Fucking Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah, like
we see Christmas decorations the day we close Fest.
Yeah.
And that's not an exaggeration. I have walked into stores.
And
like,
for those that don't know,
after,
when we close Fest, it's usually the first
week in October. Yeah,
last week
of September.
Yeah, like by the end of school. So school gets out beginning of June sometime. Like schools like K-12, and then by
July 5th,
it's like back to school already. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Wait, for me as a kid, it was like, you ruined my fucking summer by making me think
for real.
School.
The second I saw that, I was like, I can't do this here. I'm just going to hang myself.
Yeah. But no, that's my problem with these. Please, Hollywood Studios, if you are listening
Star
to me.
Star Wars 7 is still fucking in theaters.
Yeah.
It still is. It's still in theaters.
Yeah.
It's still
don't,
warm.
Don't start hyping episode 8. It's like all of these people coming out and, you know, 3 hours after the most recent Supreme Court justice passed, people were like, we should get a new one. The body's still warm, people. Come on.
By the way, there's a 10 o'clock showing at Carmike Cinemas, Wind Song 15 of Star Wars. I say we should go.
What time?
10 o'clock.
It's like 20 minutes from now.
It's 10:15 in 3D. We can make it.
All right, folks, that's it for us this week.
I was going to say, we should just, the closing, I was going to bring us to our closing thought, which was...
Oh, yeah, you had a closing thought, too.
I do have a closing thought.
Go ahead.
Yo, it's the Green Machine, gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slam and jam into the new street sound, yeah. Everybody, let's move. Vanilla is here with the new Jack Groove, gonna rock and roll the place with the power of the Ninja Turtle bass. Iceman, you know I'm not playing. Never take a show where the turtles are saying, Ninja, Ninja, Rap, Ninja, Ninja, ninja Rap. Go, 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 Ninja, go, Ninja, go, go, Ninja, go, Ninja, go. And that's really all I have.
All right, find us on Facebook, and we will see you next time, sports fans.
Sports fans.
Views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not necessarily reflect the views of men everywhere.